Well, at least everything's coming on the website now. Everything is up to date, Baruch Hashem. Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're continuing in our fifth class of Da'es Atzmecha, Getting to Know Yourself. Baruch Hashem, the English books have arrived. They're in the box, and Jeanette, the price of them is?
$30
Canadian. It's a mitzia. To thank Jeanette and Rafal for schlepping them all from New York and happening upon them. So it's worthwhile because we're not going to make any more photocopies. So we're going to go with that. So in the Hebrew book, we're on page Peites, starting the next section, about a third of the way down, Ha'odam b'mahuso neshama tahora. That's in the Hebrew text. In the English text, you'll find yourselves on page 43, at the top of the page, the essence of a person is a pure soul. Okay? So that's where we're at over there. Let me just recap briefly, because it's been 2 weeks for some.
Translation's better than this.
I'm sorry, Jeanette's? No, it's pretty much the same translation. Hopefully it doesn't have any mistakes. I looked a little bit at it just to check it, but I think we're okay. Again, I'll keep announcing this a few times. If anybody wants to just, we have the book now. You could follow in the book. If you want today, you can just use it. And if you choose not to purchase it, give it back. And if you want to purchase it, maybe if they use it and see how good it is, they'll want to purchase it, whatever. Okay, and you'll talk to Jeanette afterwards. Okay, we're only doing a one-time deal. Okay, page 43 at the top. So we're talking about the idea of identification of self. That was the idea, that a person is a combination of body and soul, and our service is to recognize that the true reality of us is the soul, and the body is only a garment for the soul. That was the first thing. And the whole approach of this Sefer is to look at it from what's in it from me approach, as opposed to starting from the Hashem approach, to start from understanding ourself. If we know who we are, then we can begin to realize how we relate to Hashem. So then we started Perek Gimel, and the third chapter, and we brought this concept. Sam, there's a book over there, if you can take it. Sort of those listening on the tape, you'll probably hear me say this about eight times as everybody walks in. We talked about the three terms, Hachna, Havdola, and Hamtoka. Submission, separation, and sweetening, this term of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And just to briefly review them, the first step is hachna, submission. We gave the analogy of two things that are attached in a very solid way, and the only way you could separate them is by shattering them. And you take a big hammer and smash them. And the same idea is the human being is a combination of the body and soul, and they're very tightly connected. And a person's job is to, so to speak, smash them to be able to loosen the grip that the body has over the soul, so that the body is not as looms as large as we think it is. And in the olden days, what they would do is they would fast and do all kinds of things like that. And the Baal Shem Tovs, nowadays we don't do that anymore. We don't want to go through that pain, as it were. But we've got to smash them to a certain degree so that we can move on to the next step, which is Havdalah, which is separating them and putting them in isolating. That's the word I'm looking for. Isolating one from the other so we can see exactly what one is and what the other is. And then after the period of isolation, then we bring them back together for the sweetened reconnection that they have. Then the tzaddik says, you have two options. You can do the hachna, the submission, as one step, and the separation is another step. But we said that's very painful. Because once you separate from the body, even though you may physically stop things, but there are feelings and there are emotions that you cannot separate. As we gave the analogy of stopping smoking, right? That's a body thing. So you're going to smash the body and stop smoking. But the wanting to smoke and the feelings for smoking are still very strong, which will make it very difficult to succeed in this idea. So therefore, he suggested we should do the two together. We should smash and separate. He hasn't explained how that is exactly for us. And then he mentioned one last thing. That's what we ended 2 weeks ago. That in order to Avdala, you need da'as. You need discernment. Without da'as, it's hard to know who the I is, when it wants something. Is it the body? Is it the soul? What's my body saying? What's my soul saying? So to determine the inner I needs this das, this higher level of intellect to discover who you are. And that's where we left things off. So we're going to continue now again. In the Hebrew, it's on page Peites. In the English, it's the top of page 43. So I'm going to still keep reading in the Hebrew. I don't know. I might stop it after this week. You'll give me your feedback on that. And then I'll proceed based on that, because I write notes into one of the books. So, you know, if I'm going to work from one book, that's when I have to put the notes in. And if I'm going to work from the English, I'm going to put notes in the English one. The goal would be a beautiful goal if I could finish the end till end of chapter 3. Well, it would be amazing if I could do that. And if not, it will be less amazing, because the real hard work begins in chapter 4. So it's maybe a good week that we have less people here. But there's a lot of important information here as well. So this subcategory is called Ha'odim B'mahuso. The essence of the person is Neshama Tahora, a pure soul. Hadvar Malolu Hemasharish. This, what we've been speaking until now, is the root idea of Olanofim Rabim Hemadmod, but the branches are very much. Kidu, as is known, Belibu Shal Adam Shnochnim Shnei Yitzarim. In the heart of a person reside two inclinations, Yetzer Tov V'Yetzer Hara, the good inclination and the evil inclination. We all understand this. There's two inclinations, two drives. One is good and one is bad. But this we need to reflect on. What is the person himself? Is he essentially good or is he essentially bad? This is the question that all the philosophers have talked about. Remember that Tzadikir says, I'm not a philosopher, I'm just telling you Torah over here. And that's what he's going to tell us. He's just going to tell us Torah. So Chazal HaKedoshi Melamdim Osanum. So the rabbis tell us, Shahadam B'mivna HaMiti Shaloh Hu Rak Tov. A person's essential true reality is only good. Ein Bo Ra. There's no evil at all. Essentially in the person. And an evil that is revealed by the person, it's found in the Yetzer Hara that is found within the person. Meaning it's coming from a layer of reality that never permeates, never penetrates the essence of the person. As we said before, it is a garment. It's a garment. Hayetzer Hara both and Chloe, in general, the Yetzer Hara, Kamoshi Iskar, as you mentioned, Mischalik l'shlosha chalakim, has three parts to it as well. Yetzahara masi, the yetzahara of action, meaning how it manifests itself in evil behavior. Yetzahara rikshi, the emotions of the yetzahara. The yetzahara machshafti, and the thoughts of the yetzahara. So now, kishamevinim shehabasis ha'miti shalorim hutov, when a person understands that the basic person is good, and the power of evil that's found with the person is an external power that enclothes itself upon the person. Once we make that understanding, Novinim came, we can therefore understand the good thoughts that we have, they really come from me. And the evil thoughts, Hein Shel Yetzahara, they are the Yetzahara. They aren't me. Now I am responsible for them, and I need to deal with it. I can't blow off the excuse, the Flip Wilson excuse of the devil made me do it. No, there's the Yetzahara that is a layer upon me that I am responsible, because it's coming from the body that I'm responsible for, that will get me to do these things, but it isn't me. That's very important. Hahargoshes hachiyuvis hen shalonu. The positive feelings are ours. Hargoshes hashlilios hen shal yetzor. The negative feelings of the yetzoras. Hamasim tovim hei mekocheinu. The good deeds, they come from our power. Hamasim haroim hinem koach shemislabe shal adam. The evil actions are the power that encloses on the person and pushes the person to act in a way that isn't proper. So therefore, even though you may do, think, and feel more negative things in your life than positive things, but that is not your reality. The truth is, you really think that God and family are the most important things to you. That's the real you. That's who you are. You aren't, believe it or not, the workaholic who never sees his kids. That's what you do. But it's not you. So no matter how much bad a Jew has done in his life, he can change it in a moment, because he really is the tzaddik inside of himself. And that's what the Maharal says, the essence of something at the end always can and should overcome the incidental of the person. So if you are essentially a neshama, and it's, which he will prove that shortly, and you are essentially the good, then that is who really you are. Now you have to wait and be patient where he's driving at. You're not going to get till the end of the next Hebrew page. It's a long thought process. You've got to hold on. You'll get the punch soon enough. Just hold on to this idea. Havana zu. Now this is what he's talking about, the das. This is the intellect. This is the deeper understanding, the deeper realities of being able to discern between things. Many of us may not think so. Many of us think we're bad people. Many people walking around that way because they're making a mistake in identity. So what he's saying, no, we have to understand now there's going to be exercise we're going to have to do to support this and nurture this reality. If you're not aware of this reality, you'll live a mistaken identity. So there are things we have to do to help us nurture this understanding. But this is an important point. Havana zu, this understanding, where are we in the English over here? A bottom of 43, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yes. Havana zu, he or godol benefesh adam bevola haskolas avodas hahi pardus mikoch harasha besocho. This understanding is a great light in the soul of a person when he begins the work of separating the evil force from amongst the person. And this is where the das comes in. The das, the intellect, is to see who you really are. Calls man shahada mazes asma kaguf. As long as a person mistakenly identifies himself as a body, and we know haguf, the body, chelko hagodol, the vast bigger part of it, is ra, is bad. Most of the body actions are up to mischief. So therefore, if you accept yourself as a body, you're accepting and confirming the depressing view of a person being evil. And you don't have to go much further than watching the news lately. It's getting worse and worse. As I mentioned in every class I taught today, it's just been bothering me so much, and I just have mentioned every class. There's been a lot of scandals with politicians lately. In a very large way. There's a governor in South Carolina, and you had last year from New York, whatever. And what happened was, is that somebody hacked into his computer and was able to see all the love messages that went between him and another woman who was not his wife, right? So that makes it problematic. I don't really understand why it's problematic nowadays. Because, you know, if you're a Republican, they're trying to find out why that's okay. And if you're a Democrat, they're telling you why it's terrible. Be that as it may. So now this isn't really news anymore. Because, like, this is happening all the time. So the news agencies have to, you know, do a little bit more to make it interesting. So they said now what is proliferating around the world, and as someone told me in one of the classes I gave, really one of them is based in Toronto, believe it or not, is they have these very, very discreet websites. And I don't know the exact names of them, Baruch Hashem, but it's basically, you know, cheatonyourspouse.com type of website. I'm sure they have maybe not even a nicer name than that. And basically, you have like complete anonymity, but more than that is now you can, you know, log on from your BlackBerry and there's ways that you don't have to worry about anybody finding out. Because what really is happening is there is just no idea of fidelity in marriage anymore. It's like gone. It's not there. The only thing that ever held anything together was because you're afraid you're going to get caught. That was really the only thing. As the prophet talks about the non-Jewish world, the prophet says that the non-Jews are zirmas susim zirmosam, the like horses running headlong into battle. That's how the males of the non-Jewish world are, like a bunch of studs. Now, you know, when a horse is a stud, like, he doesn't make a difference between one filly and another filly. Alla filly sozaman as ochid git, right? So it doesn't matter. He can have them all, right? And really, that is the secular world. They're really a bunch of animals. That's what it really is. And really, that is just, and so, now, and the only thing that was holding them back was the fear that maybe you'll get caught. And they're saying these sites are like, wow, it's like in the millions, and it's like doubling like every year. So obviously, people are very engaged in this, and this is, and that's why? Because they're identifying themselves as bodies. So that evil is coming out, and it's being condoned, and now that there's nothing holding us back, and you'll see a greater proliferation of this unbelievably. So anyway, the point he's trying to make here is, as long as you identify essentially with the body, and you're accepting this body and the Yetzer as you, and if any of us are going to try to improve, here's the point. The imkein ein lo koach lehisnasek min hara. You don't have the power to separate yourself from this. Why? Machmes shehaani, because the I, Lefit Fisaso, according to his comprehension of what he is, Shuhu Guf, which is a body, hurrah, is bad. So, you know, let's talk about, like, really tachlistic, right? I mean, I don't mean to offend anybody, but I'm just, you know, there's a big problem, people going to porno sites. And it's unfortunately, even in the Jewish world, and even religious Jews have problems with this. This is like, I've been speaking to psychologists who work in the community, and they're telling me this is not a simple thing. Now, of course, we're not proud of it, hopefully. And it's done, you know, like at 3 o'clock in the morning while the other spouse is asleep. Right? But it's not good. It's one example of other examples. Now, probably when the person's engaged in it, he's probably hating himself while he's doing it. Or maybe not, whatever. But he knows, quote unquote, it's wrong, but it gives him a certain amount of pleasure. Or whatever it is. We could pick something less racy. You know, talking Lashon Hara. Okay, which people do a lot of also, right? So, like, you want to stop it. And I really believe deep down, most people, they really do want to stop it. They do. Because they, you know, you brought up and saying that this isn't the best thing. It can't be good for my marriage if I'm looking at other people in a certain way. And deep down, the person kind of knows it's not good. But on the other hand, he can't stop. He says he can't stop. So here's the point. If you identify yourself as the body really likes this. Bodies like these things. Because the body is the behemoth. The body is the animal. The animal has animalistic urges. Horses stud with every filly. And a healthy guy studs with any girl who's pretty. That's all there is to it. And like that site that I was making reference to, you know, they were supposed to have a commercial during the Super Bowl. And like the commercial went something like, you know, they say, ever gone on a bad date, bad blind date? So they give you this man and woman eating dinner in a restaurant, and like the guy's like really terrible. You know, like he's, while they're having dinner, he's looking at the BlackBerry, he's talking to people and this, not even paying attention to the date. He's making, you know, waving his hand to other people in the restaurant, and he does some vulgar things as well, whatever. And then in the middle of the meal, he says, so I gotta leave. But then at the end they say, really it wasn't a blind date, it was really husband and wife. clever. So it's really, the husband's a schmo, right? So he leaves and the wife's, but then out of the corner of her eye, she sees, Mr. Swinger, and they get a little eye contact. There are other options. Discrete options, etc. So for some strange reason, which I can't explain, the NFL decided not to allow that commercial for the Super Bowl. One affiliate station had it. So that means that they'll for sure have it next year. That's all it means. But the tagline is, life's too short, you might as well enjoy it. Right? So now if that's what you're relating to, how are you gonna be able to stop that? A person, can make improvements in their life. They can maybe make adjustments in their life. But what you can't do is, you can't be someone else. I can't not be who I am. I can't deny the self. That's too strong of a nature of a person to deny who he is. So the Goyish world is saying, you're a behemoth. Enjoy it. And, so why should I deny it? And as long as I won't get caught, shalom al hagoyim. It's peace unto the non-Jews. And everything's fine. You're not going to know about it, and I'll have what I want, and it's fine, right? So the point he's focusing on a lot over here, if you don't make the right havdalah, if you don't make the right demarcations to know who you are, and this is where you need the das, you have to really be clear, who are you? Then, if you don't do this, then you feel that the hachna, that subjugation, is killing you. It's killing you, right? The classic example, going on a diet, right? Going on is the classic example. If you identify yourself as a body, then forget it. You will never lose, that's true, you will lose some pounds, but you'll gain many more after. You will never successfully, you will be miserable all your life. Why will you be miserable all your life? Because the body likes to fress. Finished. That's what a body does. A cow grazes in the meadow all day long. A human being who relates himself as a body fresses all day long. You like it. People say lines like, and I've said the line myself many times, you know what? I enjoy it. What's so bad? I'm not killing anybody. I'm just clogging up my arteries, and I'm just, making my blood pressure go higher, but I'm not hurting anybody, and it tastes good. Chocolate cake with ice cream tastes good. My wife's chulin tastes good, and I really like it. Right? But what you're doing is really bad for you. But you really like it, and you really identify it. So, if you really think you're a body, then trying to shatter the body, you see, but you identify with the body. So even if you stop eating for a while, you must fail. You must fail. Because you can't break the essence of who you think you are. And this is the simplest analogy, which he'll elaborate on later on. But you cannot go on a successful diet if you think you're a body. You can come up with all kinds of schemes. You could come up with, eating 7 plates of lettuce, right? That's some diets work that, many of these guys said, don't make yourself feel bad, but we have tricks that you could eat and lose weight. It's always trying to come up with a trick, an hunger depressant, used to be years ago, these little, candies. I forgot what they were called. I think they were called AIDS. AYDS. Funny. It's like 30 years ago. These little chocolates, you eat it half an hour before your meal, you're not hungry afterwards. Right? So, that doesn't deal with the issue. It's going around the issue. And therefore, any fat diets, a high protein diet. What does a high protein diet mean? You could still eat like a pig. You could eat like a pig, but guess what? That it works. You cheated the system. So that'll work for a while, but the truth is, for only so long can you avoid chocolate cake. So you really haven't dealt with the issue, and you're fighting a losing battle, even though you may see tremendous success, and maybe for 2 months, you'll lose 30 pounds, because I can take pain for a while. But then, you know, then there's these secret encounters with the chocolate Danish. You know, covert operations. Nobody noticed, you know. How does the song go? Strangers in the night, eating by the refrigerator light, right? So that's it. The body can't be suppressed forever, and it explodes. And then you eat 20 times more than you ever ate in your life, and you gain 60 pounds. It doesn't work. So it can't work. You can't deny who you think you are. You can't. So you can't make these changes. If you really say, I like pornographic sites, I like talking Lashon Hara, these are all body languages, and that's what I am, the human being cannot take being destroyed. And that's what's happening if you don't make a successful Havdalah. If you think that you are the body, forget it. It can't work. That's also, this will impact if we can do a successful teshuva. Teshuva all depends on that. You know, we come every year, Rosh Hashanah Kippur, and you know, we come to shul and say, okay, I got to improve, and I got to be better, I got to talk less Lashon Hara, I got to come to shul more often, I got to learn more, I got to this, I got that. And they're all true, and on some level, that's what you really want. And almost everybody doesn't come through on any of the commitments they set in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Why? Because you're using the wrong approach. You're not doing Yom Kippur for what it was meant to be done for. Because the truth is, we try to subjugate the body, but the problem is, but we still view ourselves as a body. So for one day, I could subjugate my body. But you notice, right after Yom Kippur, mamish, as soon as the shofar's blown, and you're home, you're fressing like a pig. That meal right away. It's like, you know, you're rushing through Maariv and you're eating without making such good brachas, and you don't remember to bench, and you overeat, and you're vomiting that night, and it's like, you know, that's the whole Yom Kippur, right? Because for one day I can hold it in, but I'm still a body. So then what happens is we really give up any hope of changing. That's why it doesn't work. A tshuva has to be a lifetime commitment to being a different person. And tshuva means to return to who I really am. And I really am a neshama. Once the person can make the paradigm shift and say, I am a neshama, and that's who I am, you'll see shortly how he's going to explain this, then I can part with what I'm not. That is the key to this whole chapter here. What I am, I cannot give up. What I'm not, I can give up. Now, it's going to take time to believe this idea that you are a neshama and not a body. So I've said it, he said it, you're saying, I still don't believe it. So that's what he's going to have to work on us. He's going to have to work on us to do exercise to show us and reinforce that we are really neshamas. And that the body is not really who I am. And this is the das he's talking about. This is the intellect. Once you can make that discrimination, then you can begin the process of this kind of proper identification and reshifting who and what you are. Okay? So now we'll move on and we'll continue. Ima Adam, we should be on page 44 by now, third paragraph. Ima Adam, ma'zeh aso k'neshama shemelubah shel haguf. If a person identifies himself as a soul that's enclosed with a body, hareisha neshama hi tova, the neshama is good. We say this every morning in the davening. Elokai, my God, neshama shenasata bi, the soul that you gave me, tahorahi, is pure. It's pure. It's pure and holy. You gave me a holy soul. Right? So if we would say that and believe that's true, ein bara, there's no evil. Yesh barak tov, there's only good. Vim ken kol hara shenimtza bekir bi, all the evil that's found inside of me, hi mikoach halavush shel haguf, it's only from the power of the garment that's on the body, which is really just nothing more than a shallow piece of life that covers my neshama. Shenimtza neshama, aval ha'ani, but the I, hu chiyuvi, it's positive, hu tov, it's good, hu tahor, it's pure. You know, anybody who's had children knows that if a baby makes a diaper, you know, like a really good one, like a really gesunt one, you know, like you haven't been watching him or her for a while, and it's like all over the place. I mean, like everywhere, right? No one would say that the essence of the baby is dirty. even though he reeks and he smells, and the only thing you can think about right now is he smells to high heaven. But nobody says, well, he smells, let's throw him out. No, the baby is good, but makes a lot of diapers. Even mess, you know, and he maybe in the beginning, he's mostly diapers. In the first couple months, he's one shtick diaper. That's all it is, one after the other, right? But we know one of the attributes of God, one of the 13 attributes of mercy, is he's over al pesha, which simply means he overlooks sins. But Rav Moshe Cordovero says it means that he himself, Hashem, he forgives us. He washes us, as it were, without any messenger. And that's the slicha, the forgiveness, that he washes away our sins himself. As the pasuk says, literally, it says, the prophet says, God washes our feces off of us. That's the Kabbalistic understanding of Avraveris. So that means Hashem washes and scrubs away the sin, and that's how God looks at us. God looks at my Avera as making a terrible diaper. See that terrible diaper I made? And Hashem, with the power of Yom Kippur and Tshuva, can clean it off. But many of us don't ourselves see it that way. We don't believe we can take off the diaper. We believe we are the diaper. Because we're making this mistaken identity of the garment is us. And that's when you run into trouble. Continuing. If a person identifies himself as a body, that inside of it is a soul, but he really is a body, then yesh bo koach echad tov, shenikra neshama. He has one power that's good that's called the neshama. Vol koach aguv sheruba ra, but the power of the body, it's mostly bad. Gam hu mezua et slokani. He also looks at it as the eye. Sometimes you believe both of the eye. Vani, here's the point again, e efsher limchok. You can't erase the eye. It's against the human being's ability to erase his identity. Adam yochol limchok es ma shelo shelo. You can erase which is not yours. But the eye of the human being cannot be erased. So the eye of the person is something you cannot deny or eliminate. It lasts forever depending on what you think it is. Hashem gave a person a neshama that has an eternal power. And that eternal power is pure. Huzach, it's pure. Hunaki, it's clean. And there's nothing bad. When the person takes the identification of the eye, which really is rooted in the soul, but now mistakenly uses it to identify himself as the body, and think about most of the eyes we use. Listen to yourself when you talk. And when was the last time you said I? And what was it in relation to? It will be usually in terms of the body. Did you make any reference with the word I and the word hungry? Right? Now what you really should say is, my body is hungry. You are not hungry. Your neshama is not hungry. My body is hungry. I hear my stomach growling is a very accurate definition of who you are. You are never hungry. Your neshama, unless, like we said from Avlevi Yitzchak, your neshama is hungry for Torah. But you are not hungry for food. But we always say, I am hungry. Now, if you keep saying that, you start believing it. You know, I am angry. I am this. I am tired. I am exhausted. I am stressed. I am feeling the pressure. I'm unhappy. All these are body words, you know. Very rarely, I love to daven. You know, I felt amazing during that class. It's rare that the you might say, that was a good class. But you're going to say, I was enthralled by that class. Not so often. So take, you know, this week, start catching yourself. When you say I, take a little sheet over here, you know, take a little. Just kill it. You say, I am hungry, write it down. And see how many I statements you say refer to the body. So that's just going to reinforce, it's going to reinforce what you believe is the real I. And that's going to show the task that's involved over here. Okay? Now, as koach hara, Ka'ani, this power of the evil, if it's an I, then you're not going to have the power to split it off. If you think that what it is. Because the evil is the essence of the person based on his understanding of who he is. So you try to go through the motions of change, but it won't last because you can't disengage for what you're entangled with. And that's what the tzaddik's been saying. This idea of smashing the body and separating. You can't smash and separate if you don't know what you're separating. Because if you're separating what you think is the I, this is where the das is. Okay, I'm going to separate the body and the soul. Good, but I'm the body. So it's not going to help for us to divest you from it. We can, now, it, as long as it's together, then you're totally, you don't even know who you are. You've got to split them apart. Okay, we'll do things to split them apart. Fine. Split them apart. But now, which one are you, Buster? So if you say, well, they're split apart, but I'm still really this body. Then I can't do it. I can't help you now. I can't attack the thing that you think is you. So when we split it apart, we've got to be able to go through certain exercises that help us believe the fact that the soul is me. And once I believe that the soul is me, and then I can separate and I see here's the body and here's the soul, then I can get rid of what the body wants and I can be rid of it. And then rid of its hold on me, rid of its power. And then, as we'll talk about later, you'll be able to rejoin them in a healthy way where now I understand I'm only putting on a garment. But as long as we don't have that clear understanding that I am the soul and I am not the body, it's a losing proposition from the beginning. Okay, any questions? I've been talking for a long time. Nobody said anything. Yes?
Physical environment. If you want to use some sort of metaphor, take a look around you. This is the only Jewish spot in the entire complex, and everywhere else is a body thing. There's an ice cream shop, a bagel shop, a smile shop, a clothing shop. This is the only place where you get spirituality. Right?
Yeah.
So where is the spiritual world for the Jew if he's living in a Goyish environment?
Where's the spiritual world for the Jew if he's living in a Goyish environment?
Yeah.
He ain't got one if he is not going to shul, learning Torah, or focusing on those things. He doesn't have it.
But that's not the majority. If you, so that's 1% of the Jewish population in this city.
A small percentage.
Yeah.
So it's a major problem. It's a major problem. Why do you think more Jews on a per capita basis go to rehabilitation centers than non-Jews? For all kinds of problems, drugs, this and that, much more. Now, you might say because they're richer, because they're very expensive things to go. But that's not the real answer. It's because we are going crazier, because our neshamas are going crazy. Because we have developed personalities that are not true to who we are, and that's why we're miserable. That's why we're miserable. That's why the Jews are always the leaders in the dumbest things in the world. You know, like Woodstock and all that stuff was Jews, because they're going crazy. Because they weren't feeding the neshamas properly. So you're right, there is no solution for those people. The very few people who are coming to a class, there is hope for us. Maybe in a couple years, we'll be able to cure our sickness. All right, there's hope for us. People who are not coming to these classes, it's big problems. I mean, even the Orthodox Jews who go to shul, unfortunately, it's a major problem. This rabbi who wrote this book, he didn't write it for an outreach program. He wrote it for Jews who are living in Yerushalayim. He was writing for Hasidim. He's writing for Hasidim who are doing these superficial actions of being a Jew, but inside really aren't enjoying it and aren't loving it and are trapped. And there's this guilt that, you know, I really want to have some fun. And the religion's not allowing me to have fun because they're beginning to misidentify themselves. So this is a major problem. It's a major problem. So this is what he's trying. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I want this to be an enjoyable process. We haven't talked about God. And we're not going to talk about him. It's a rare series that I'm not going to talk about God. Because we can't begin to talk about God if we can't talk about who we are. As long as we all think we're really a body, then it's hopeless. It's hopeless. So the point is how we're going to get ourselves to, number one, identify as being an neshama, and what are the processes to continue this? That's what we have to work on. Yes, ma'am.
Is it the same where do you find any kind of, you know, kedusha per se? The best thing we can do is and of course, like this is like it's from the inside out, not from the outside in, right?
Yes, it's absolutely right. It's got to come from the inside out, but you have to be able to identify what's inside. The problem is most people don't know what to identify with. The problem is many people are saying, okay, I have to be a better Jew. So, you know, I assume you came here because you want to be better Jews. That's why I'm giving the class. I want to be a better Jew, right? So what am I going to be a better Jew? So let me learn more Torah. Let me keep a kosher home. Let me keep Shabbos. That's not the answer. That's the trappings. That's not who you are. You know, it's very, for a Baal Tshuva, it's very exciting if you had a very depressing secular life, right? And there's only pain in the secular world. So, you know, for a couple of years, it's really great to be in a religious environment where you see people are getting along a lot better. And you're willing to pay the price of keeping Shabbos, keeping kosher. It's worth the price to pay. And it's even the novel native experience is cute. You know, keeping Shabbos, you know, that's nice. We don't have to pick up the phone. We don't have to do this, you know. But after a while, it will get stale. It will get stale. It can only sustain you so long. Hopefully, in the process, you start learning this kind of stuff and get deeper, get into it more, and really cut into the most difficult areas, which is not something you can do in a beginnings of outreach, because this is heavy stuff that people... I have a trouble dealing with. Yeah.
That, let's say, in Mumbai, those
Mumbai.
Like, for me, it's such a crazy thing to be able to go out there with no Yiddishkeit. Like, you don't have it surrounding you. Is that how they were able to?
Well, the Lubavitchers, how they succeed in going to these crazy places, so they have a strong network amongst themselves. Like, they always get together, they have conventions, and they're hooked up internet-wise, and their kids have in-schooling via the internet.
So it's not just going to a remote place and hoping, you know, Hashem stays with you.
No, they don't let them go out until they really feel that they're solid with them to begin with. They have to have these ideas very clear. If you know you're an neshama and not a body, when you look at these people, you just feel sorry for them. You don't feel jealous. You don't feel, oh, I wish I could have what they have. You know that they're miserable people. Are you jealous of the people in the insane asylum? Let me tell you, you are the psychologist. You've been studying for 20 years, you have PhDs and all these letters, and you know what deviant behavior is, right? You know you're normal, you know they're cracked, right? But they're having a great time. They're smiling. She thinks she's the Queen of England. He thinks he's Bobby Kennedy, you know, and like, you know, he's King Arthur, and they're having a great time. They really are. So, boy, I wish I was like them. I'm glad I'm not them. So the person who really understands who he is, he's not jealous. He's not jealous of Baldani clothing. You know, I'm not jealous of a woman who thinks that her only value is flesh and is a horse for sale. You say, Nebuch. That woman, it's a Nebuch. She doesn't even know who she is. She's cheapened herself to be that. I feel sorry for her. Right? So that's, but you know, they don't let you go out to do Kiruv unless you're of that mindset. Okay, I know I gotta go ahead. I'd like to answer more, but I want to cover a little bit more ground. Excuse me. No meaning K. I don't know where we are in the English now.
44.
Still on 44?
Yeah.
No meaning K. Okay. Shesharash heistaklus shedibarnu b'tchilo. The root of this way of looking at ourselves that we spoke of in the beginning. Shavodas adam listakl asmok in neshamish and leshes beguf v'lo beguf shemsof neshama. That the service of a person is to see himself as a soul garmented with a body and not a body that has a soul inside of it. Who shoresh kol mivna avodas adam. That's the source of the whole way of building up the human being. Avodas ha'adam hi l'salik etzaram mikir b'legal sezetzim ha'viyos ha'shutov. The service of a person is to remove the evil from inside of him, reveal the essence of what he is, which is good. That's the trick. Lo kamo sheish anashim ha'sovim shodim tzorech liknois ha'nogasovos. Not like people mistakenly think that all I gotta do is adapt a new lifestyle. Liknos minastavos. Adapt good character. V'liknos hargoshes tovos ha'nogasovos. And to adapt good feelings and thoughts. Lo tzorech liknos kol. You don't have to adapt anything. You don't have to take on anything new. So Rach Legalis is a tov atam besochenu. All you have to do is reveal the good that's already in there. That's all you have to do. Once I reveal what's in there, then naturally I will want what the neshama wants. The neshama is pure and good. It only wants good things. I won't have to, when we come up with a new program, we have a new Lashon Hara program. We've got a program in the city now. We're going to really focus on not talking Lashon Hara. That's wonderful and people mean well, but it's doomed to fail by and large. Why? Because you're forcing people to do something they don't want to do. Right? If we're going to have a project, let's reveal our souls. Let's reveal who we are. Once you know that you are a soul, the soul naturally doesn't want to talk Lashon Hara. You don't have to work very hard anymore. That's what he's saying. We don't have to acquire something new. Just reveal that which is there. As a neshama tahara, shenata kadosh baruch hu banan shi'at etzem aviyasanu. That holy soul that was implanted into us by God, which is the essence of who we are. So therefore, avodas ha'adam kasher hu hinasis besura nechona. The service of a person when it's done in the right way, hilahakir shara hu lavash agabov. That the evil is a garment on you, zelohu, but it's not you. V'kasher yagia la'akarish zelohu. Once you realize that's not you, hareisha shorish achibur l'ra hu kfar nitak. Then the root of that connection to evil has already been cut. That's it. Once you come to that clear understanding that that evil, that body is not you, once that's clear to you, 99% of the job's over. Kasher Adam Tovi says, Asu gam ke neshama gam guf, but if he thinks he's both a body and a soul, and they're both eyes, Harisha Achtus ben neshama guf, Achtus muchletus, and that unity is a definite unity, according to what you think. I'm a body and I'm a soul, I'm a spiritual person, but very much a body, and that's who I am. Ki ben neshama, ben guf, hey manishol, both of them are the eye, vanihu lo dover shefsel chalchim, you can't really divide an eye in two. You can't divide. If I am both, then I am both. So you can't break that either. When a person realizes he's a soul that a body garments, and the body is just a garment for the soul, as we've mentioned, people do change their clothes. You take it off in the evening, put something new in the morning. The reality of the garment isn't unified with the person. Although he says certainly there is some relationship between the body and the garment, but it's not a unified whole. Okay, moving on to the next subcategory. Havdolas v'hachnoas halavush lo etzem hani. 45 at the bottom. Okay, now. Me'ata. So now, mash yisid lanu ha'bal shem tov shavodas ha'adam hi'achno havdolas. That which the Baal Shem Tov has said for us now. That the main service is this shattering and separating. Lachnia es koach hara u'avdil min ha'adam. To subjugate the body, the evil, and separate it from the person. Really, yesh penimius lavodosu. There's a lot of depth to this concept. Kolz man shadam tofes as ani ki neshama v'guf. As long as a person thinks that the eye is a soul and a body. Shehu guf shebesocha neshama. A body that has a soul inside of it. What you're trying to do is to subjugate and separate the essential eye. You can't separate that eye. If you're going to try to do that, you know what that's called? Pitzul issues, split personality. This is where people become crazy. In the street, he looks like a fine Jew. But at home, it's something else. Why? Since he can't break the eye, the eye, he sets up different eyes. There's an eye in shul, there's an eye at home, there's an eye at work. There's too many different eyes going on over here because you can't break those eyes and then you get person who have, you know, personality disorders. If you want to divide yourself up, that's a big mistake. You can't split the eye. You're going to do this, it will cause all kinds of mental illness. With a person. You can't take that. You can't take denying what you are, what you think you are. But on the other hand, if a person thinks that his whole structure is a soul, really, that just has a body garment, and the body is only a garment of the soul, he just wants to remove a garment. Who knows? He's not coming to deny and subjugate himself. If that's what the person's thinking, the work becomes so much easier. What I'm telling you now is not just good information. So this is a paradigm shift. This has to change the way the person looks at himself. The work will be so much easier once you can make this shift. We don't mean to say it's going to be easy, but it'll be a lot easier. It'll be possible. Because you're at least starting a lot better than a person who's not even starting from a rational basis. You at least have the ability to succeed. Avodas ha'adamim came. So therefore, what is the real service of a person? Shihachno avavdol. We're talking about this. Subjugation and separation. Trilasa einana b'famasi. In the beginning, we're not going to give you practical ways to deal with it. That's not the beginning. We're not going to tell you how to live this way, how to do things this way. The beginning of the service is rooted in what you're thinking and what your belief system is. And that's what he's going to spend time on initially. We're not trying to separate the evil from the good in your thoughts. We're not even up to that. We're not even up to separating it. But first we're going to know who we are. That's the first job, lahakir miu be'emes ani shalo, to know who is the real I. And, you know, everyone wants to move ahead. Let's move on to the exciting stuff. We got to get to the first thing. Let's get it straight. Who are you? To wake up in the middle of the night. Who are you? What are you? You got to say, I'm a holy soul. And you believe it. Then, once you got, then we can talk about separating. If you don't really know who you are yet, then it's going to be too painful to even start the separation. Now here's his proof to who you are. Ubeemes kachkosev Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital, the great student of the Arizal. B'sefer Shari Kedusha, he writes, Shahani shal adam zu aneshama. The eye of the person is an neshama. And he brings a proof from the book of Shmos. It says in the Torah, you're not allowed, there's certain oils, special oils that were made in the temple, that if you wanted to anoint utensils and get them to be used in the temple, you poured the oil on it, or you wanted to anoint a Kohen, special oil. The Torah says it can only be done for sacramental purposes, and it can't be done, you know, just as a great hand lotion. Now, if you do, that's an Avera. So look at the way the Torah writes it. Torah writes the pasuk, "Al basar adam lo yisach." On the flesh of a person, you shouldn't smear it. What is it? On the flesh of a person. Now, v'imadam huaguf. If a person is the body, how can you use the expression "the flesh of a person"? It should say what? On a person, you shouldn't put the oil. Why say on the flesh of a person? Say, if you are a body, just say, don't put it on a person. Why does it say on the flesh of a person? Klomar, what does it mean? You know, basar. Ketzad nidan lomar basar. How can you say flesh of a person, meaning basar shalom? For at basar aslan zenigurim. If the person is the body, then that is the person. It should have said, but if you're saying flesh of a person, it means flesh is not the person. That's a great proof. It's right in the text, right there. The flesh of the person. That means there's the person, and there's the flesh of the person. That's the proof. Therefore we learn from this. The understanding that a person is not a soul that has a body inside of him. El neshama hamulevish baguf, but a soul that's enclosed with a body. Vaguf ain't a lavush neshama, and the body is only a garment for the soul. Now, you know, havana zuhi asher shokol v'shem v'lam. This is the root of all our service to Hashem. It's very interesting in halacha, for example. Not only is the body not you, but more than that, you don't even own it. You don't even own it. The commentators say the famous thing: are you allowed to injure yourself? I want to take my head and hit it against the wall. I want to, you know, cut my body. You know, so you can't. You can't. Why? Because your body doesn't belong to you. Your body belongs to Hashem. Hashem loans it to you. and dictates the terms of its use. It's not yours. It's not you. It's a garment. And God has very special instructions. And this is what we understand. Before Yom Kippur, there's a very special prayer that some people have a chance to say. If you can get to shul like 20 minutes before Kol Nidre, there's a prayer called Tfilas Zaka. And very early in the prayer, let's just read a little bit. I'll say it in English. And this really says it all, what we've been speaking about today. Master of all worlds, Father of mercy and forgiveness, whose right hand is outstretched to accept penitence, you created man to reward him when his life is ended. You created for him two inclinations, a good inclination and an evil inclination, so that the choice would be in his hand to decide for good or for evil, thereby to reward him well for the propriety of his choice, for so did your wisdom decree as it is written, blah, blah, blah. And now, my God, I have not heeded your voice, but I have followed the counsel of the evil inclination, the ways of my personal desires. I have despised good and have chosen evil. Not only have I failed to sanctify my organs, but I've contaminated them. Then, in the next six paragraphs, he says that every part of your body, the reason you created for a reason, and I didn't follow that reason. You created in me a mind and a heart which contained the faculty of thought to conceive good thoughts and noble aspirations, and a heart with which to understand your holy words and to pray and recite all the blessings with a pure mind. That's what God gave you a mind and a heart for. Only for that. That's the only reason he gave that to you. That's an exclusive licensed use. The user of signs to hereby follow these rules. You can only use it for that. But I have contaminated them with evil fantasies and foreign thoughts. Thereby I have created corrupting, destructive spirits, etc., etc., etc. You created me with eyes, containing the faculty of vision with which to see what is written in the Torah. God says, I gave you eyes, they're not yours. I give you for one reason. Read Torah. And which should be sanctified by the sight of everything holy. You cautioned your Torah, do not explore after your heart or after your eyes. Woe is it to me that I have followed my eyes and contaminated them by staring lustfully at women and at everything impure. You created me with ears with which to hear words of holiness and words of Torah. That's the only allowed use. Woe is to me that I have contaminated them by listening to words of obscenity, gossip, and all sorts of forbidden talk. Woe to the ears that hear such things, etc., etc., etc. So that, you know, that then he says, you know, you gave me all these things and I've messed it all up. Okay, so then what am I going to do? You know what I'm going to do? I am Kippur, at least. I am Kippur. I'm going to use them for the things I'm supposed to. So the lips that were kissing things should not have been kissing. I'm going to kiss the Sefer Torah. And the eyes are going to only look at the Sefer Torah. And the ears are only going to hear the words of davening. I'm going to do it right for one day. Now, what that prayer was supposed to get you in the mindset to realize that I am a soul and I'm not a body. And that's what you have to accomplish over the whole Yom Kippur, is to get it into your brain that I am a soul and I am not a body, and to convince yourself of that fact. And then everything else will go from there. That's what he's trying to tell us over here. Okay, now, let's just, the next little section we can just overview. I don't have time to read it all inside. The next little section... Okay, we didn't finish the chapter, but I think it was, we covered some good ground. He gives an analogy. I'll just speak it out outside. It's on the top of 47. It says, let's say a guy has boxes that are filled up and he needs to transport them. So he has to rent a truck. So, like, he calls up a truck rental company and says, okay, I want to rent a truck. So what's the first question they're going to ask you?
How much you got?
No, they're going to ask, what are you transporting? Right? So if you're supporting, you know, eggs, you need one kind of truck. What if you're sending cement blocks? It's a different kind of truck. Right? I gotta know what's in the truck. So he says, similarly, when a person wants to build himself up, he needs to know what direction he's going. What forces he is working with to prepare himself to get himself to that place. So it's not just like working on this mitzvah or that mitzvah, etc. What am I trying to transport? What am I trying to ship? So in the last paragraph, the last two lines, it says, the force, the root force, the person should prepare himself in order to build himself properly. He's got to transport the real I. That's what you got to be moving. So I need myself in order to build myself. And only that can be the foundation. Hakarazu alfechas es kol chayodom lagami. That understanding changes the human being totally. Totally. Okay? So that's what we're up to. Next week, what he will discuss is three or four practical applications of showing you the difference between the person who identifies himself with a body and the person who identifies himself with a soul. And you'll see how much more tranquil the life of a person who identifies himself with a soul. And he'll give us our first two activities to work on to convince ourselves that we are a soul and not a body. Okay, thank you very much for listening.